Turn with me, please, in the living word of God to the book of Ephesians and the chapter 5. The book of Ephesians and the chapter 5. And when I turn to the place, may I just say that there have been no definite arrangements made as to what day the funeral for Johnny McMurray, the son of Joan, will be on. Potentially Wednesday, potentially Thursday. But keep your ear to the ground, and if you wish to attend the funeral, then details will come forth before not too long. Ephesians chapter 5. And having been told in the opening three chapters about the blessings of God in salvation, how he washes our sins away, he makes us righteous before the Lord, how indeed Christ brings us into the family and fold of God, and he gives us the Holy Spirit to help us walk in the way of the Lord. In chapter 4 and in verse 1, the Apostle Paul then begins to apply all of this. He says in verse 1 of chapter 4, "I therefore, in light of the blessings and the love that God has shown you, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." In the beginning of chapter 5, the Apostle Paul goes further and he says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour." And in verse 22, we pick up the reading. Speaking about how we are to walk and why we are to walk, we read in verse 22, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, yet let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." We'll end our reading there at the end of the chapter. Let us all bow in a word of prayer and ask the Lord to undertake and have a word in season this morning. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we ask thee that thou wouldst be pleased to speak to us now through thy living word. Father, we thank thee that you desire to speak to us. For us, your husbands, you desire, Lord, that we'll walk in the way that's right, that our prayers will not be hindered. O Father, make us to be what you want us to be. Not just those that are husbands, but every one of us here this morning. Make us all, young and old, male and female, to be what you want us to be. Give us homes built upon the Savior, Lord, through which thou wilt advance thy work and advance the kingdom of thy beloved Son. To that end, I pray now that thou wouldst fill me afresh with the Holy Spirit. I need him. Lord, I cannot be a blessing to anybody. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Make me to be thy channel of blessing today. Not in any small way, but for the great glory of Christ I ask. On his merits I plead it. Amen.
Amen.
What does a brass orchestra, a men's choir, and a lemon cake have in common? Well, simply, they all are made up of individual parts that complement each other better than when they are alone. You think of a brass orchestra, all the different brass instruments, they complement each other and they bring forth a beautiful sound. Far more beautiful than if it was just one alone. The same for a choir. The same whenever it even comes to a cake and you get the different elements. I don't imagine many of you fancy just eating a bit of flour or indeed just taking a raw egg, but you bring it all together and the different elements, the different ingredients complement to produce that which is better than before. Whenever we looked at marriage and understanding what marriage actually is from Genesis chapter 2, we saw that husbands and wives are to be complements to each other. That is, they are to complete one another. They're not to compete with one another. And so, in light of that, I want us this morning to look at the role of the husband. And as I've already mentioned, I trust this is a message for everybody. Of course, most directly, husbands, as we look at the role of the husband, this is what you and I ought to be. This is what we ought to pray for. Lord, have thine own way in my life. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Make me, mold me after thy will. Wives, this is what you are to see your husband is. Whenever you see the role, you're to respect his role. You're not to trespass on his role. Young men, as we look at the role of the husband, if you desire to be married, this is what you should start preparing to be, even now. Young ladies, if you desire to marry, this is what you ought to be looking for and be praying for whenever you look at the role of the husband. Collectively, all of us, as a church, Scripture makes it clear that God generally and primarily works through gospel-centered homes. And so it's in our interest, as a church, if we want to see God work, that we ought to pray, Lord, make husbands what they ought to be. That thou wilt work in this church. Homes built on the Savior. And used of you. And of course, everybody here. Whether they be young or whether they be old. The role of the husband, as Paul tells us here in verse 32 of Ephesians 5, there is a great picture of Christ and his love to us. And who he is to us in the gospel. And so, as we look at the role of the husband, see this morning, Christ and his perfection and his love for you and for me in the gospel. There are two points I want to make in relation to the role of the husband. The first is the role of the husband is to lead his wife. And then, God willing, next week, the role of the husband is to love his wife. So notice with me the first point today. The role of the husband is to lead his wife. In verse 22 of Ephesians 5, you look with me there, we're told, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For this reason, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. The passage makes it super clear the husband is to be the head of the wife. In fact, if you want to turn over a few pages to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, just before Ephesians, you have 1 Corinthians in the chapter 11. The Apostle Paul here, he says to the believers in Corinth, he says, I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. And again, whenever we read that verse specifically in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, we're reminded of two things. The first is that headship does not refer to superiority. Men and women are equal in creation. We saw that a couple of weeks ago. Because both men and women are made in the image of God. But men and women are also equal in salvation. If you want to turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Someone recently asked me, are men more important whenever it comes to the church? Are men more important and have elements to them that makes them more favorable to God than somebody else? Well, Galatians chapter 3 answers that question. Verse 28, Paul says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Men and women are equal in creation because we're all made in the image of God, but even in salvation, among believers, men and women are equal to God's. Yes, why he will see a male, he will see a female, yet there is not any superiority or inferiority among them. We're equal. Equally loved, equally favored, equally forgiven, equally adopted into the family, equally loved by God. So headship, as we look at it this morning, does not refer to superiority, but it does refer to responsibility. Most groups need a leader. Companies need a CEO. Organizations need a president, armies need a general, football teams need a captain, countries need a monarch, or indeed a parliament. And so it is with homes. Homes and marriages need a leader. And this leader, according to the Lord, is to be the husband. This is a solemn reality. Some men want their wife to share the responsibility of leadership and to be passive, really, in responsibility of leadership. And so they let their wives do what they wish. But men this morning, just as the captain of a football team or the CEO of a company will be held accountable for whether they have or have not led their teams or their companies aright, so you and I will be held accountable before God and responsible as to whether we have or have not led our wives aright. Headship speaks of responsibility. In the world today, there are two extremes of the husbands. The one extreme I've just mentioned, who will seek to neglect his responsibility, delegate it to his wife, but the other extreme seeks to abuse his authority. He'll act as a dictator, dominating, and even demeaning his wife. Neither of these extremes are biblical. Neither of these extremes are right. And you and I have set before us a wonderful picture in Ephesians chapter 5 that deals with both these extremes and directs us down the right way. Because we have here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, that the husband is the head. You think about a head and a body. In this picture, the body symbolizes the wife, and the head symbolizes the husband. And you note with me a number of things this morning. Note with me, first and foremost, that the head serves the body. The purpose of the head is not to serve itself. The purpose of the head is to serve the body. The purpose of the head is to look after the body, to care for the body, to make full use of the body, to advance the body. If you look with me, please, at Ephesians 5, verse 25, and the verses following, we read these words. Paul, speaking directly to husbands, he says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." You see, the head, its aim and purpose is to serve the body. In verse 25, the head is to love the body. So the husband is, of course, to love his wife. The head serves the body. And so the husband is to serve his wife. In verses 26 and 27, the husband is to seek the advancement of the body. He's to seek its sanctification, seek its cleansing. In verse 29, the husband is to seek the nourishing of the body and indeed the cherishing of the body. You see how this image before us rids us of those silly, dangerous, and evil extremes? The head is to serve the body. You see, some people think headship means a husband has the right to abuse his wife, demean his wife, shout at his wife, be aggressive toward his wife. Headship's nothing of the sort. How foolish and wrong it would be for the physical head to abuse the physical body. How foolish it would be for the physical head to neglect the body, to let it get sick and let it get weak. How foolish it would be for the physical head to seek no advancement of the body, not to feed it, not to grow it, not to protect it. Because in doing so, the head is not merely hating the body, the head's actually hating itself. Because when the body is hurting, the head is hurting. And so the role of the head is to be concerned with the body. And when the head is concerned with the body and consumed with looking after the body, the head in reality is actually looking after itself. You think about some of the ways Paul tells us here in Ephesians chapter 5 that the head is to serve the body. Notice with me, in verse 29, the head is to nourish the body. The husband is to nourish his wife. Ephesians 5:29, we read, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it." The word for nourish, of course, is the idea of nurturing. If you nurture a plant, you nurture a skill, you nurture an interest, what are you doing? You're promoting the growth of these things. And so in verse 26, the head is to nurture his wife. to see that she is growing in sanctification, likeness to the Lord, love for the Lord, trust in the Lord. Verse 27, the husband, the head, is to seek that his body, that his wife, is to be glorious and to be holy. The head is to nourish the body. Notice also, the head is to cherish the body. Ephesians 5:29, Paul says, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it." The word cherish literally means the Greek to brood over. And the image therefore is given of a hen who broods over his chicks, over her chicks. And there will put the wings around the chicks, keeping them warm, giving them an environment in which they can grow, but also protecting them from the dangers around. And so it is here, when the husband is to cherish his wife. One of the key elements of this can be found in 1 Timothy 2, verse 7, because the word cherish here is actually only used twice in the New Testament. It's used here in Ephesians 5, 29, but it's also used in 1 Timothy 2, verse 7, where the Apostle Paul, as a man, as a preacher, he says to the believer, to Timothy, he says, "We were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." You think about a young baby and how you cherish. You hold in your arms, you protect, as well as provide all that's needed for that baby to grow. Husbands, this morning, let me ask you, and I want to make it clear this morning, I'm asking this to myself as well. I do not stand here as somebody who is a perfect husband to speak to my wife about that. But this is something we all need to learn and seek to be. Husbands, this morning, are you nourishing your wife? Are you nurturing her? Are you seeking her advancement? Are you providing for her as well as protecting her from harm? There's so many ways in which this ought to be done. Husbands are to nurture and provide for their wives physically, making sure she has all she needs to be safe and well physically. Husbands are to nurture and protect their wives emotionally. When if your wife gets discouraged or down, let me ask you, husbands, do you encourage her? When if your wife begins to listen to the false expectations this world may place on her, do you show her the falseness of those expectations and therefore protect her from the wrong ideologies in the world? When your wife is attacked verbally, emotionally, or mentally, do you defend her? Do you even praise her? In Proverbs chapter 31, 28, we are told regarding the virtuous woman that her husband calls her blessed, and indeed he praises her. Do we praise our wives, husbands? Husbands are to nurture their wives physically, emotionally, but also spiritually. You think about Christ, the great picture, the great example to you and I as husbands. In salvation, Jesus Christ does not just forgive us our sins, but He works for us. He works in us to purify us and to cleanse us. That's what we read in this passage, verse 26 of Ephesians 5, that He might sanctify and cleanse it by the Word. In Psalm 23, verse 3, the Lord as our shepherd leads us in the paths of righteousness. He actively leads us that way. Doesn't just stand back to see if we go that way or not. No, He actively leads us. He goes before us to lead us in the paths of righteousness. Christ desires to make us as His bride more holy and more holy. Closer to God, loving God, leaning upon God all the more. How does He do that? Well, He prays for us, does He not? Hebrews 7:25, He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Christ, He shows us more of Himself. John 15:26, He gives the Holy Spirit that He would show us in His Word all things concerning Himself. Christ is an example to us. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Christ is our example. Christ encourages us. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 17, Paul says, "The Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Whenever Paul was in a tight, difficult, and disappointing situation. And then also, the Lord protects us from harm. Psalm 23, verse 4, Christ uses His rod and His staff to comfort us and to protect us. Husbands, this morning, do you see that your role, it's not just to be faithful to your wife, but your role is to nourish your wife, to protect your wife. Your role is to see her sanctification, to actively lead her in the way of holiness and in godliness. I observe, and you can tell me I'm wrong on the way out the door, but I observe that in many homes and believers, the wife is often more godly than her husband. And while I do commend godly wives for your godliness, yet for husbands, I rebuke you if you're being lazy. How can you lead your wife in the way of holiness if you yourself are not advancing in holiness? Growing in it yourself. In Scripture, when we read about Abraham and Sarah, it is Abraham who builds the altar. It is Abraham who's trusted by God to teach and to train his home in the way of righteousness. It's the husband. Let me ask you, husbands, do you nurture your wife? Do you pray for her growth with earnestness? Pray for her growth in holiness? Do you spend time with her to show her more and more Christ by your life and by your example, by your lips and speaking with her throughout the day in everyday conversation? Are you that example of what holiness really is? That you love God above everything else? That you display joy and contentment in the Lord in the difficult times of life. That you're controlled. That you're temperate. That you're not flying off in a temper. That you're trustworthy. That you're steadfast. That you're merciful. An example to your wife. Are you an encouragement to your wife? Do you commend her and praise her when she does what's right before God? And when you're in company with others, are you one who ridicules her, belittles her, or mocks her? Or are you one that praises her and commends her so that people can turn around and say, notice again how he compliments his wife. Notice there how he appreciates his wife. Husbands, do protect your wife from the false ideologies and teachings of this world. Husbands, as the head of your marriage, you are to serve your body. You are to serve your wife. You're to care for her. You're to nurture her, you're to cherish her. And as Paul tells us, you're to do so with gentleness and affection. You could look at the general of an army and you could say, well, he nourishes his soldiers. And he puts them through drill after drill with harshness, with cruelty, and with bluntness. But remember, Paul tells us we're not to treat our wives like a drill sergeant does the soldiers. We are to be gentle as a nurse. We're to see our wives as it are, as those vessels, those ornaments that need care and need gentleness and need affection. Do not treat them as a soldier. Treat them as a rose that needs to be nurtured. And if she is saved, dear husbands, one day in glory you will see your wife presented to the Father by Christ as gloriously perfect and magnificent. And I'd encourage you to see that day even now in your minds. See that by faith, and therefore see every day that you have with your wife as an opportunity to work with God in the progress, the advancement towards that final climactic day. You can work with God to see her advance and grow in holiness. And then whenever you stand with her at that day of glory, to be able to say to her, I always knew you would look like this. The head is to serve the body. That's the first point this morning. Notice with me, second of all, the head is to listen to the body. While the head has the responsibility to make decisions, and as the phrase goes, the buck stops with the head, yet a wise head will listen to its body. A wise head will listen to its legs whenever the legs get tired. A wise head will listen to its stomach whenever the stomach gets hungry. A wise head will listen to its hand whenever it's in pain. You see, the head is to be a listener. It is foolish for the head not to listen to the body. The body is there to tell the head what it needs to know. You think about a parliament that will not listen to the concerns of its citizens. It does not go well. You think about a football captain who will not listen to the comments of his player. It will not go well. How irrelevant, how ineffective How unsuccessful would such leaders be if they did not listen to those under their authority? And so, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, the Apostle Peter, inspired by God, the Holy Spirit, says these words, "Ye husbands, dwell with them that is your wife according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife." The same passage describes the wife as that vessel. The word for vessel is the idea of an ornament, as I've already mentioned, that which is to be handled wisely and appropriately. A number of years ago, I was recommended a book written by a Baptist pastor, and it was called The Five Love Languages. Now, I'll be honest with you, the title's a bit mushy for my liking, and there could be a lot more gospel-centered attention in the book. But yet, there were five practical lessons that I have never forgotten from the book. And that is that, generally speaking, we're all different. But there are five different ways in which people can feel love. Some people will feel more love whenever quality time is spent with them, and talking to them, listening to them, opening up with them. Other people will feel more love whenever you do works of service for them. Whenever it comes to your wife, maybe asking, "How can I help you?" Whether it be washing the dishes or hoovering a floor. Other people will feel more love if you simply give words of kindness to them. You notice them, you thank them for all that they do. Thanks for the meal, it was lovely. Thanks for doing the laundry. Others will appreciate and feel more love by physical touch, the sitting beside them, the holding of the hands, a hug, a kiss, whatever it may be. And yet others, the receiving of gifts. It doesn't have to be expensive. It'd be simply a small bunch of flowers. Something every now and again, just reminding them that you're thinking of them. Bring home their favorite chocolate bar, whatever it is. And I would put it to you that in this room, while all of those are important, yet there may be one or two of those that you will feel more appreciated by, more loved by than the other three. Husbands, I strongly encourage you to talk with your wives as to which of these five areas mean most to her and will encourage her and strengthen her in her work. I've heard of stories where a husband helps his wife out with laundry and with dishes and with hoovering, and yet having to have a pastoral setting whereby the marriage was not going well, and the pastor asked, well, what's wrong? And she says, "I don't feel my husband loves me." And he says, What? I help you out with this, and I help you out with that, and I help you out with that. What do you mean I don't love you?" And she simply said, "You never tell me you love me. You never say it. You never notice me. You never appreciate me." Husbands, do you know in which ways your wife feels most loved? Do you know what will encourage them the most? Whenever Chloe and I went through that book, I thought I knew, and I didn't know. But I've learned now, so that's good. You husbands could help your wife out all day. Do this for them, do that for them. But if you never tell them that you love them, they could feel that they're not loved. Alternatively, you could tell them all day that you love them. But if you never bring anything home, if you never show that you're thinking about them during the day, if you never help them out whenever they're struggling, they could never feel loved. In John chapter 10, we have the great example of Christ with his sheep. We read in John 10 that Christ knows his sheep by their name, and he knows their very needs. And as a result, Christ, he will fulfill all five of the ways in which he shows love to his sheep. He'll comfort us with his presence whenever he knows we need it. He'll come alongside us and he'll work for us and show us acts of kindness whenever we need it. He'll encourage us whenever we need it. He'll give us a gift whenever he needs it, whenever we need it. Christ knows us. And he knows how to show his love to us and make us aware of it whenever we need it. Let me ask you, husbands, do you know that regarding your wife? I'd encourage you, seek to know your wife and seek to know them more and more. Another misconception some Christians can have in the world today is that while the husband is to be the breadwinner, that whenever he comes home, he can just plonk himself down in front of the sofa until he falls asleep or goes to bed to sleep, before waking up the next day and repeating the same process. Now let me say that it is true that the husband is to be the breadwinner, yet notice with me the picture set before us in Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. How does Christ love us? Oh yes, Christ purchases things for us. He's the breadwinner in that sense. He's purchased for us salvation. He's purchased for us forgiveness. He shed his precious blood, dear children of God, for us at the cross. But Christ doesn't just purchase these things for us and then just let us be. No, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, we read, God is faithful, by whom ye were called under the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation is not just about Christ saving us from the punishment of our sin in hell. Salvation is not just about saving us from the bondage of sin. Salvation ultimately is doing these things that we can be brought into a relationship with him, that he can walk with us and talk with us, by the way. We can know him and he can know us. Husbands, marriage is not just about you doing things for your wife. Marriage is about you walking with your wife. It's about talking with her, telling each other about your days, but enjoying one another, enjoying each other's personality, sharing each other's hopes and dreams, listening to, comforting each other through fears and anxieties. It's walking with your wife. And that requires effort for most men. I remember reading a number of studies which claim that the average woman speaks about 20,000 words a day and the average man about 7,000. I don't know if that's true in your home or not, but now you imagine if a man, if it is true, and a man comes home from his work and he's used up his 7,000 words with his work, and yet he comes home and his wife still has 10,000 to use up, the husband may be happy to sit down quietly and chill out for the rest of the evening, but yet your wife wants to talk. Remember that marriage is to walk with your wife, to talk with your wife. Let me ask you, do that? Oh yes, you may work for her, but do you walk with her? Do you make time to talk with her, whether it be over meals or in the evening time? Do you set aside distractions, whether it be the TV, the radio, the newspaper, the phone, the social media, whatever it may be, and just spend time with your wife talking? Do you enjoy her? Do you open up to her and let her open up to you? Do you look at each other? Not just if you're helping out with kids or doing something else and chatting at the other side of the room, but actually look at each other. Look into each other's eyes. Do you listen to her? I fall into the trap every night thinking, I know what my wife is saying, but do we actually take time to listen to what she really is saying? You see, the head is to serve the body. That's the first point. But the head is to listen to the body. Where can I best help? Where is the great need? How can I help lead you, strengthen you, encourage you in the way of holiness and righteousness as a leader to you? How can I serve you? If the husband is to serve his wife and serve his body, he is to listen to his body. He's also then, thirdly, to learn from the body. The head learns from the body. You see, the head will learn the strengths and the weaknesses of the physical body. The physical head will learn how much weight the physical arm can hold, and yet what it also cannot hold. The physical head will learn how much a body can work before it gets too tired and needs a rest. The physical head will learn how much a leg can be stretched before it hurts. And dear husbands, you and I have a wonderful picture again in the gospel. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, we're told regarding Christ, quote, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The passage tells us that Christ is the one who's touched with us. He's the one who knows our infirmities. He's the one who knows our weaknesses. He knows our struggles. He knows our pains. As he is our head in the gospel, every dear believer, we are his body, and he knows our pains. And he's sensitive to us. Husbands, are you one who takes time to learn what weight your wife can hold regarding what she has to do, and not pushing her beyond it? Are you ever taking time to learn how long your wife can work before she needs a rest? Are you ever taking time to learn how far she can go before she's stretched too much and she's hurt? And as you're learning these things, are you also being sensitive with them? Whenever you see your wife holding too much, being stretched too far, or exhausted, do you step in? Do you think, how best can I help her? And then do you do it? Or do you step back and say, moaning again, crying again? Why can't you just work harder? I'd be all right in that situation. Why can't you just stretch a little bit further? Why can't you just hold more? I hold more. Husbands, we are to listen to the body and we're to learn from the body. Learn about your wife. And be sensitive to your wife. Care for her. Help her. She is your body. And she is your responsibility. Let me summarize this morning. Men and women are equal in creation. We're all made in the image of God. Men and women are equal in salvation. We're equally loved by God, equally forgiven, equally adopted. But we are distinct in the roles that God has given us. And just as companies need a CEO, armies need a general, football teams need a captain, so marriages and homes need someone to lead. And husbands, God has given that solemn responsibility to you. The body belongs to God. The Bible makes that clear. And so your wife, whether she's saved or whether she's not, she's God's creation. And you're responsible by God to care for her, to love her, to protect her, to advance her in the way of holiness. Some men today want to pass that responsibility on to their wives. Just look after yourself. But husbands, God's given it to you. And you'll be held accountable. Other men want to abuse the responsibility by being a tyrant, demeaning, belittling, despising their wives. And that too is a serious sin before God, because you're abusing what belongs to God. You may ask the question this morning, how can I care for my wife aright? Well, again, you have to come all the way back to the gospel for that. You must, husband, know Christ. You must see who He is in the gospel. You must put your trust in Him for salvation, because how can you ever do what God commands without having His Holy Spirit inside dwelling within you to do that? You want to fulfill your role, you need to be saved, dear husband, first and foremost. Being saved, you never need to learn more of Christ. See who He is to you as your head, and then you be that. As Christ loves you, you love your wife. As He protects you, you protect your wife. As He encourages you, you encourage your wife. As He leads you, you lead your wife. You can know Christ. You can love Christ. And you are indeed to live for Christ. The only way you can truly do that is if you walk with Christ. See, Christ in the gospel is the one who wants to walk with us. Every day He wants to show us how much He loves us. Every day He wants to change us, conform us more and more into that holy image of Himself. He wants to do that. And the only way you'll ever be motivated, dear husband, to walk aright and to love your wife aright is to continually walk with Christ. Learning more, seeing more of who He is, loving Him, and then with that inspiration, that motivation, loving what He's given you, that body that belongs to Christ, which is your wife. Of course, this morning there is a direct application to husbands. But also wives, again, there is this application. While husbands are to heed this message and be what they're meant to be, wives, you're also to heed this message and respect the solemn role God has given your husband as the head. Do not usurp that role or trespass on it. For those who desire to be married, if you're a man, this is what you ought to strive to be, prepare to be, pray that you will be. Prepare for it now. Those who are ladies who desire to be married, this is what you are to look for. A man who you will willingly have as your head. Everybody in this church, we are to pray that these are the husbands. That God would make every one here that is a husband. That our prayers will not be hindered, but that God will bless. That marriages in this church would reflect the beauty of the gospel, because marriage would be a witness. How they complement each other, they love each other, they praise each other, they're thankful for each other, they delight in each other. It's to be a picture of the gospel. and of course everybody here, if you take time today to look at what I've mentioned regarding the role of the husband and leading the wife and serving her and listening to her and learning from her, and you see a picture of the Savior this morning. If you're not a believer, you see the great Savior that there is that offers himself to you in the gospel. One who promises, yes, to wash away your sin, to make you right before God, to deliver you from hell and on to heaven. But more than that, a Savior who promises to serve you as your head. A Savior who promises to nourish you, to uphold you, to encourage you, to strengthen you, to pray for you, to look after you. A Savior who promises to listen to you in your prayers and to learn your weaknesses that he may be there for you whenever you need it. You have a Savior. He offers himself salvation in the most wonderful and beautiful of terms. Come to him. Why would you not? He is the great Savior. May you and I see Christ this morning. May you and I love Christ this morning. May you and I live like Christ and for Christ this morning. Well, let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou wouldst take Thy word. Lord, we thank You for this great picture in the Gospel of the husband and the wife, the head and the body. Lord, help us to understand it aright and to be what You want us to be. For the glory of Christ, we ask. Oh, Lord, bless this final hymn that we will sing. May we see just how much Christ is the lover of our souls. And let us then to His bosom run. Let us trust Him. Even in the times of life, we have thought about those that are sorrowing today. And may all here, whether we're sorrowing or whether we're not, know that Christ is the one who will listen. Christ is the one who will care. Christ is the one who has promised to step in and help us whenever we can go no further. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. We'll sing one final song before the service concludes. Hymn 196, Jesus, Lover of My Soul, let me to Thy bosom fly while the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Savior, high, till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. We'll stand to sing this hymn, please.
Jesus, Lover of my soul, let me to Thy bosom fly, by the nearer waters roll, by the tempest still is high, hide me, O my
Heavenly Father, we have just sung regarding how vile and full of unrighteousness we are. But Father, we praise Thee that plenty is grace with Thee is found. Grace to cover all our sin, and grace to change us into the likeness of Christ. O Lord, give us that grace, we pray. Forgive us our sins, and change us into the likeness of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.